Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Charlie Consagra, owner of Novation Networks. What's up, podcast? Episode 19. We are back in the studio for the first time since, oh my God, like March 11th, the shutdown. And it's only fitting that the first guest back in is my friend Charlie Consagra, because he helped me build this table, actually more than helped, because I didn't really do anything. I just watched. But we have Charlie with us today, and you know, I want to tell the story. What's up, by the way, Charlie?
How's it going, Bill?
Good.
Thanks for having me back after all this.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Absolutely. Everybody's been kind of hiding and everything, and it's nice to be back moving a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to tell the story real quick, and then we'll jump into the podcast. A few months back, when I was getting ready to launch the podcast, I posted on social media somewhere, I think on Facebook, that I was just basically looking for like somebody that was giving away a table. I needed a new table for the podcast studio. And, I didn't want to spend a lot of money. I was like, if somebody's giving something away, you know, I'll get something or something cheap, you know? So I posted up on Facebook and, a couple people are commenting, giving some suggestions. And all of a sudden I got a message from my friend Charlie. And, he said, hey, he goes, if you want, I'll help you build a nice like butcher block table. And I'm like, nah, I can't afford that right now, you know? And he goes, no, he goes, I'll help you out with it. And we'll build it together. And all that. I'm like, okay, sure. You know, I was like, well, I said, if it's any more than like 50 or 100 bucks, I said, don't even worry about it. Cause I don't want to spend the money. So I'm just looking for like a secondhand table. Charlie's like, no, I'll take care of you. So, he said, all right, well, let's get together this weekend. So, you know, we got together, we went up to Lowe's, and, Charlie purchased, this awesome butcher block table. And, he donated the table to me, and we spent a weekend putting it together, and he refused to take a dollar from me, which is very nice and very kind of him. So thank you again, Charlie.
Absolutely.
I have to tell the story, and I'm glad that you're the first one back in the podcast studio since before the shutdown, because you and I did have planned for you to come in and do a podcast, and then things got shut down.
Yep.
So why did you help me out with the table?
Well, I mean, you and I have known each other for such a long time now. I mean, I just thought it was fitting, you know, and I love what you're doing. We've done business together for a long time, you and your family, obviously, and my company and your companies. And, what you're doing here is a great thing. I'm a strong believer in the small business community and promoting that around the area. Small business people around here need things like that. And we have to have a voice and be able to speak. And you just getting everyone together and continuing something like this to allow people to come in and speak about their businesses. It's a really great thing you're doing. So I wanted to be a part of it. An interesting little story. About a couple weeks before I saw that you were looking for a table, my father and I were building the same exact butcher block tables for a room that I was renovating in my father's house. And I said, well, what's one more? Let's build another one. And away we went. And yeah, you and I started staying in it and everything. Yeah. And it turned out beautiful, by the way. I love it in here. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really
is. It's
really
nice to see it so many months later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I absolutely love it. I get a lot of compliments on it. And, every time someone's in here, of course, I got to give you credit for it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's a great story.
Yeah, no, it really is. And, I'm really thankful for, people like you and a couple others that, at the start of this whole launch of this podcast, I wasn't looking for any type of freebie or anything. I was just looking for a secondhand table. And, you and a couple other people, in the community just kind of stepped in and just said, hey, I'd love to like help you out. And like, okay, cool. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Well, that's what you have to do. You got to help people that need things. And once again, the business community should be together in everything they do. So
yeah,
it's an awesome thing. I'm happy to help.
Yeah. So during the shutdown, it's been a few months. Like what were you up to during the...
Well, it's actually interesting. Aside from me being an essential business, obviously with the computer aspect of it and working, as you could probably imagine, and a lot of people may not realize, but once everything shut down, all of the remote access, VPN access, laptops, working from home, webcams, communications, everything went through the roof. Not to mention a lot of my clients that wanted to get a lot of projects done had downtime in order to do so. So I've been working through this whole thing, and it's been really crazy. You know, we've just been trying to help everybody we can to continue to have their businesses operating during all this, during the red and the yellow, you know, time. And, you know, we're happy that we can continue to help everybody. On top of that, honestly, I've been going around donating sanitizing products.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you about that. You know, I know you helped out my wife, Jess, and Dr. Lauren Grossman's office with some donations.
That's right.
To their office for hand sanitizer and cleaning products so they can get back up and running. But yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about that? How did that whole thing start?
Absolutely. You know what? It's actually an interesting story. When all this happened, obviously, when everything first started and everything started shutting down, everything was off the shelves, everything was getting gobbled up, you know, regardless of how it was getting gobbled up, there was nothing around. I'm sure everybody knows that. And, you know, I started, I had some materials for myself and my, you know, people around me in order to use. But every time I went looking for things, there was nothing. And, you know, I'm lucky to have so many friends in the area and business contacts in the area. And every time I went to see anyone, it was just, you know, I can't get anything for myself, for my family, for my business. And I just kept hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And finally, honestly, I think the thing that got me was is it got so bad that there was even a cleaning company in the area advertising watering down sanitizer that they found or disinfectant that they found and put it in spray bottles and trying to give it out to people. And I finally said, you know what? Something has to be done. You can't get any of this stuff. I said, you know, and I have a lot of distributor connections for my computers parts and my company itself. And a lot of stuff overseas as well. And I said, you know what? I want to know what it takes. Why is it so hard to get these things? And after a few calls with a lot of my distributors over, like I said, overseas and other things, it turns out that it's not as hard to get these things as I thought. You know, my distributors not only have computers and other parts, but they also deal in things like this. And I just asked them, you know, instead of sending me computers, what would it take you to send me hand sanitizer? Or what would it take you to send me Lysol spray or, you know, or wipes, anything? And they said, well, it's no problem. We can send you anything you need. We have everything, masks, N95s, anything you want, and you'll get it in 5 days. And I literally just started bringing all this stuff in. And I said, you know what, let's bring in as much as I can. And I'm just going to start helping people. I'm going to start giving it out to friends. I'm going to start giving it out to businesses, you know, just people that need it. I did a lot of food banks in the area. And I remember putting a post on Facebook and saying, you know, if anybody needs, and I only had a little bit of product at the time. And I said, if anybody needs anything, please let me know. You know, we're going through a hard time.
And it blew up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it blew up. I got so many calls and so many messages for different things. I just started bringing in massive quantities of it. And to be honest with you, I probably helped over 300 businesses get started again with PPE materials in the yellow and the green phase. I gave out over 5,000 bottles of hand sanitizer, 26,000 masks, thousands of N95s, Geisinger, I gave N95s to, the Hoyt Library, the Pittston Library, Kingston Municipal Building, Exeter, Pittston Township, Wilkes-Barre, Exeter Township, you know, anyone I could find that needed these things. And it was amazing because everyone needed them.
And you didn't charge anyone for this?
No, I didn't. I gave out probably over $20,000 worth of product, to be honest with you.
That's
and
insane.
Yeah, you know, and it was just something I felt compelled to do. The whole point of everything, obviously, is, you know, I'm a firm believer that people with means in a crisis should help people without the means. And that's something as simple as I have a box of wipes and you don't and you need them. People should help if you can get them and not just hoard these things. These are life-saving, you know, materials in this tough time right now. And I've been lucky and blessed to be able to have the ability to help out so many people and so many businesses. And I thank everybody. I met so many wonderful people along the ride for all of this, down to people that have asthmatic children and people that just need stuff to keep their families safe, to, you know, full businesses that I started and helped open back up because they had the materials, otherwise they wouldn't. So it's been absolutely incredible.
And you were just giving this out to anyone and everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been thousands and thousands of bottles.
Do you still have supplies? And if anyone's listening right now, are you still giving stuff away?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am still giving donations to any businesses, that need, materials. I am saving stuff, because everybody's kind of scared that this may happen again come the fall or flu season. So rest assured that I do have a stockpile floating around in case this happens again to help people. But yes, if anybody is interested in anything, you could look me up on Facebook, Charlie Consagra, and, more than happy to help anyone that's in need.
That's awesome. And if anyone's listening and they can't find Charlie on Facebook and can't get in touch with them, please feel free to reach out to me and I'll definitely get them in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Well, that's really cool. And I don't care what anyone says. You're a cool guy. You're a good guy, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, it's really cool what you did. And like I said, just going back to the story of the table and, you know, your willingness to help me out. And, you've just gone above and beyond, you know, for me and so many other people in the community. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your business now, Novation Networks.
Yes.
So what do you do?
Well, Novation Networks is a full-time IT support company for businesses. So we're a total technology provider, which means that we come in and we handle any aspect of technology for a business, computers, networking, fiber optics. We train. We're also purchasers, so you can buy computers, laptops, servers from us. We do any type of server work. We pull cable. We do training, software purchasing, troubleshooting, remote and on-site. Really anything you could think about technology. We've done everything from speaker systems for businesses to TVs to projector screens. Any type of technology, but primarily the networking and the computer side of it is what we do.
So how did you get started in the business?
Well, you know what? It's actually an interesting story again. When I realized when I was very young that I wanted to be in computers. I loved computers ever since I was a kid. When I was a very young boy, my father bought or may have even brought from his work an old IBM 486 computer, you know, Windows 3.1 on it. You know, you could play Tetris and that's about it. I broke the thing in 3 days, I had to take it apart. I had to see what was inside of it. He was mad at me. We put it back together. We got it going again. And it just became a passion of mine. That grew into obviously all the way through high school, me being involved in computers. I was accepted to Rochester Institute of Technology for college, and I got my degree in computer networking and systems administration from there. And once I got out of college, I started working for a local computer company, a local IT company, very similar to what I did. After a year, I wound up leaving and just decided that I wanted to try to do it myself. I started off with a few clients in my dad's basement with a computer and a folding table. And now I'm over 350, you know, to 400 clients in the area. We go all the way to New Jersey, Philadelphia. We have an office obviously next to Grieco's, the old Nocera Jewelry Building in Exeter is where we are. And, it's 12 years now. It's my 12th year in business.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, what was it, you know, you were working for somebody else for a year, right? And then you decided like, yeah, you know, I don't want to work for someone else. Like, what was it? What made you make the jump to start your own business?
Well, to be kind, I'll say it in certain ways. There's a big cloud over IT in the area because inside this area, we don't understand technology as much as other big giant cities with more technology than we do. So it's very easy for an IT company to look at you and say very technological words and make it sound like you need to buy something. And that kind of was what was going on with where I was. That and unfortunately the solutions that were being approached or given to the clients at the time that I was just working as a tech for I didn't agree with. I felt that there was a better way to fix things and better way to solve things and you know, even maybe cheaper sometimes. But, it's a difference of opinions and experience from my end. I said, you know, this just isn't a good fit for me. Not to mention, I felt that the company I was working for was very passive, understanding their clients or getting to know their clients. I've coined the term in the area that IT is intimate. And what I mean by IT is intimate is, in order to understand technology for a business, you must understand how that business works itself. As you could imagine, something like, you and your father's company, a printing business, needs technology in a different way than a restaurant may need technology, or a library, or a railroad yard, or a manufacturer of metal products, or an accountant. I take the time to learn every business that is a client of mine. And because I learned their business, I understand how technology works with their business to make them more productive. And that's the key to a good IT company or an IT person in general, I believe, in the area, is just being able to have the intimacy of your client and getting to know their business, and not just generically, well, I can buy you a computer, I can put a laptop in here. No. How does that work for your niche of business that you're in? And there you go. That's really why I'm lucky to be so successful.
So you saw an opportunity and you just jumped on it, solve some problems.
Absolutely. Not to mention, after I left, I was in the process of looking for another job and had a couple job offers, and it was outstanding the amount of calls I got from people I used to work with that said, Charlie, you did a great job, we would love you to continue. And that really pushed me. It was nice to hear so many clients and everybody I knew that kind of said, you know, we want you to keep working with us, and we want you to help us with our computers. And that really meant a lot to me. And it kind of, I guess, gave me the push to start it myself.
So how long were you in your dad's basement for?
I was in my dad's basement for a little over a year. And next to the folding table with the single computer on it and printer that I had to start my business to just do some invoicing on, I had a big rack of servers because I started a web hosting company that hosts websites and emails for my clients at the time to try to make some extra money. And of course, this thing sounded like a wind tunnel and just heated up the basement and everything. So my father finally, you know, ripped his hair out and kind of said, it's time for you to go. You need to get out. You know, you're doing well. He said, well, we're going to, you know, it's time to find an office.
Your first eviction.
That's it. So he said, you know, it's time to find an office. And I started looking around, and a couple of buildings fell through, and you know how it goes. And then was lucky enough to find the building I'm in now. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's been home for 12 years.
I was just going to say, how long have you been there?
12 years. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I would probably say, well, I guess 11 years since I started my company 12 years ago. So yeah, it's about 11 years I've been there now.
That's really cool. So do you have like a good success story? You don't have to mention any names or clients specifically if you don't want to, but do you have like any good story of how you've really helped somebody as far as the technology aspect?
Well, I mean, there's so many good stories over the years. I mean, it's difficult because everybody is kind of specific. I would probably say that the easiest way to say it is that the success story is when I go into a client and see where their technology is at, and see it breaking and not working and being unproductive. And then once I get done, seeing everything really take off and ramp up. I'm lucky enough to do the computers for Kosha Ford, Joe Kosha, and Tim Slavish over there, great friends of mine, very good people. And they, you know, I started with them probably 10 years ago, and they have an unbelievable dealership. As far as I'm concerned, you know, the best Ford dealership in the area. These guys are so great at what they do. so experienced and friendly, and I was able to help them grow, and now they have multiple locations of different entities, and you know, we're doing point-to-point wireless links to buildings that they never had before, and it's amazing to see the company go from something so small to one building to two to three to four. And it's like that with a few different customers of mine.
Yeah. What about some behind the scenes things that maybe you do that like not your, either your clients don't see, or like your family or friends, like everyone, you know, probably has a different, view of what you actually do during the day, but like, what's a misconception of what you do?
Well, I think the biggest misconception of what I do is a lot of people kind of think that IT guys are the same type of person. And, you know, the guy that maybe can't necessarily talk or might be a little shy or very technical and can't speak, you know, your language, and then just kind of tells you reboot the computer every time and hopefully it fixes it. But usually what I do is travel on site every day to different clients. I'm not sitting in my office at a computer with a headset on, you know, helping people. I'm actually there. 90% of our commercial clients are all on site, you know, tech support. And it could be I have a hard hat on with a vest and I'm working at a railroad yard installing satellite dishes on a job site trailer. And then right after that, I'm in a restaurant programming a point of sale system for their lunch menu. And then after that, I'm up in an attic running cables for speakers for a gym and
smashing your forehead,
smashing my forehead. Yeah. And cutting up my arms.
Charlie has a smash on his forehead today.
Yeah, it's like the day of that I'm coming here to take pictures, right?
Yeah, go figure.
Yep, but that's really what it is. It's, everything behind the scenes, it's dirty behind the scenes in IT. Let me put it that way. It's very dusty and dirty, and you're in crawl spaces and insulation and attics running cable, and you're in closets that have servers in them that are hot and dirty and dusty and, you know,
That's what you're really doing.
That's what I'm really doing. I'm, you know, a lot of people call me a glorified electrician, but that's not the case. I know a little bit about electrical, but it's so different. It's not just wire pulling and putting two wires together. Some of my clients and some of my largest clients, if they're down, they're down, and it costs them $20,000-$30,000 an hour. And, you know, we have to have an extremely large amount of liability insurance to cover things like that. A lot of my clients only want to see me. And that's the other side of IT is you have to be very careful. If you mess up and you take something down, it costs that company a lot of money. And like I said, in certain clients of mine, tens of thousands of dollars an hour. So that's the side where you really have to be careful.
Yeah. Wow. It's interesting to hear all the different things that you do behind the scenes and the day to day, because up until this point, I mean, I thought you were, you know, still home, like sitting in front of 10 monitors playing Tetris.
Yeah, I wish. Let me tell you, I wish I was. I've been telling everybody, because obviously some people were lucky enough, to, I guess, to have a little bit of time off during this. It's the only good thing I guess we could say about this whole situation. But I've been going through, obviously, with this whole thing. And, you know, I'm going to take a vacation soon and that's it. But it is. It's crazy what seems to happen. Every day is a new adventure, and a new client in a different field comes a whole new experience, and I'm still learning every day. It's incredible to be a part of some of the incredible businesses in the area, and there's so many different fields that I help and manage that it's just incredible how everything works. It's an experience of my life as well, just to see everything.
Yeah, what are some other industries? Like, what are some of the, I know you already touched on a few, but...
Yeah, I mean, I have lawyers' offices, you know, I have libraries, I have school districts, I have manufacturers of different products, I have educational, facilities, Junior Achievement, one of my original clients. I have nonprofits, I have restaurants, I have railroad yards, like I said, bars, there's so many different things, accounting offices, it's just amazing, and I'm sure I'm missing so many, you know, things, But there really is a wide variety of clients and different industries. There's really no industry that I don't serve. And to learn, like I said, the business behind the technology that I'm putting in for people in all these different areas, it's incredible. It really is.
Yeah, and you just kind of touched on a little bit some of the nonprofits. So I wanted to also ask you a little bit about your community involvement besides what we talked about earlier, giving away thousands and thousands and thousands of bottles of hand sanitizer and everything. But what are some community organizations that you're part of that you're passionate about?
Sure. So I'm very passionate about Junior Achievement. That's on Oak Street in Pittston Township. I'm lucky enough to have been there when the building was being built and the program started. I watched the program grow for many, many, many years now. They're over a 10-year client of mine. I'm lucky enough to say that I'm on the board of Junior Achievement now. It's a great facility that helps children learn finances, among other things, at a young age. They're doing a great thing there. I also am on the board at CDE Career Institute, which is a technical institute in Tannersville, and they just opened up a location in Paterson, New Jersey. Wonderful, wonderful people that own that facility. They're doing great things with teaching of technology as well as software applications to children. I was coaching Pittston area soccer for a long time in my life. I was involved with a local club in the area as a volunteer as well. I was also involved in Boy Scouts, helping a scout troop in Pittston a while ago. I try to spread myself around as much as I can to stay active. I'm lucky enough to be on some boards of some great companies in the area that really are doing some great things with children.
No, that's really cool. What would you say is your favorite thing about NEPA?
Oh, my favorite thing about NEPA has to be... boy, that's tough. We just have a way here. You know, when I travel outside the area, you could tell how different it is. We just seem to have a way. I would probably say family. Northeastern Pennsylvania is just home to a great populace of people that are very, very family-oriented, very close. And I feel that that's something to be valued still in this time. These people around here, for the most part, are very caring and family-oriented people and close people. I think that's an important thing. That's one of the things I like about it. The other thing, obviously, is the food. We're lucky enough to have a lot of Italian restaurants around here, whether it be pizza or just really good Italian restaurants. There's so many great Italian people around the area as well that have these restaurants, and the food is great. So I think that's probably the other thing I enjoy the most, because I am Italian and I do love to cook and eat. So,
what's your favorite pizza?
Oh boy, my favorite pizza has to be. Boy, I don't know if I can say their name. Say their name?
Yeah, of course.
Honestly, and I'll give a plug to them, I have to say Serpico's. Serpico's in the East End Center is probably my favorite round pizza. And that does matter. We have a big discussion in the area between round and square pizza. But round, I will certainly say Serpico's broccoli pizza is absolutely phenomenal.
Nice. It is good.
Yes.
I do like it too.
Yes. That's one of my favorites. And then, of course, you can't beat Old Forge pizza when it comes to square. So.
Yeah, definitely. But going back to what you said about, like the family aspect, and just this area in general and how people really come together and help each other out. I think it's real important. And I also think it's one of the great things about the area is, it's in times that people need help and when it's unexpected,
absolutely,
going back again, I know we talked about this table like 15 times, but again, this table in the podcast studio, it was totally unexpected that you messaged me when you saw the post. And again, it was just totally unexpected and shocked in a really good way.
Sure.
And, like I said, I think that's also one of my favorite things about the area is just, people just come out of nowhere and help you. And it's just great. It's a really good thing.
Absolutely. Hopefully we can have more of that. in the area.
Definitely.
As we're getting out of this tough time, I think that's one of the biggest things that's important right now is to be able to, you know, look at everyone and say, you know what, we're all the same right now. We're all in this together, and help people. Help people when you can. There are people that are less fortunate than us and maybe you than in the area that have been going through some tough times during this. There are people that have lost their businesses, their livelihood. You know, there are people that, you know, because of not being able to work, can't afford to pay to feed their family. And it's something that needs to be understood. It's a very sad situation for anyone right now in the world as this is happening. But luckily, we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. But of course, like you said, the big thing in this area is people help. And I think that what you're doing with the podcast and what I'm trying to do following your lead to be the same way, we can inspire more people to continue to help.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. And really glad you're part of it. And, you know, the story about the table is just going to live on forever.
Absolutely.
It really is.
You just know? Don't tell anybody about the jar of stain that we dropped in front of the officer.
Oh, yeah, that we spilled outside and it's still stained on the ground.
Well, we just wanted the concrete to match the table.
Yeah.
That was funny. The bloopers.
Yeah. I wish we would have videotaped it because
that would have been a great story, too.
Yeah.
We'll have to, a little at a time, we'll tell everybody another story behind the scenes.
A little piece of each part of what happened. But, all right. So, Novation Networks, how can someone else learn more about you?
Well, they can certainly go on our website, novation-networks.com, or you could call our number, 570-891-0870.
Very cool. All right. Well, I think that about does it today. Another On the Stacks podcast with Charlie Consagra. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on the Stacks.